Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters and sliding on in here. We just had to froze his cigar. Everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Jay. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, man, best weekend if the SEC's ever had. I think it delivered, Shane. We had multiple overtime games. We had games come down to the wire. Very few blowouts.
Yeah, Mike, I just, there was one. But, you know, and I've, here's the thing, Mike. It wasn't, when I rewatched these games today, I was like, it's just, and you're going to sense a theme. There were moments. There were moments that half the SEC captured, and there was half the SEC squandered. And I feel like that was kind of the weekend. Who took advantage of those opportunities and who didn't? And you're right, Mike. I feel like, man, this is just – I can't explain it. This is the wildest SEC season I have ever seen in my life. I'm sitting here late October. I have no idea who's going to the SEC championship. I have no idea who's getting eliminated from the college football playoffs. If anything could happen, and we still got a lot of football left, man.
That we do. And before we get into it, as always, got to remind the folks we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Go check them out. MyBookie.ag is the website. Don't forget that promo code. Most importantly, SEC. It's on the screen there. It's on the screen all football season long. So go check them out. MyBookie.ag. Put in an initial deposit, and you'll get a buyback guarantee with that SEC promo code. And we're also brought to you by our outstanding friends over at Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's the only thing getting Shane through these dark times. The third Saturday in October is that damn fine Tennessee Legend. You know what?
Yes, the only thing winning here in Tennessee is there at the Legend Distillery. And I tell you, baseball fans, they don't know. Right now, they're like, should I get some more Legend or should I hold off? Is it going to San Francisco? I don't know. But if you ever get over there at Tennessee Legend, they got two locations in Sevierville, one in Nashville. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift, which is awesome. And it's just a fun experience. Really, it is. They got the moonshine tasting and everything like that. You just have fun every time you're in there. So be sure to let them know the cousin sent you.
Will they gift you a new baseball coach or some referees that won't screw you, Shane?
Maybe. We're going to get to that, Mike. There's a lot of, again, officiating, taking another L this weekend. Unless you got the win, then you're like, you know what? They weren't that bad.
Well, speaking of bad, one last thing here, Shane. The weekly recaps. Shane was feeling confident. But he got a couple wrong. Tennessee, Auburn, LSU. Steven and I, 7-1. Fucking Gamecocks burnt me. And then Letters to God. Oh no, he got two wrong. So the cousins have lost their lead, Shane. Uh-oh. For the first time since I believe week two, the cousins are tied with Steven at 69. Nice. I'm right there, 67, and Shane's right in the rear, 66. So still a competition. But there's work to be done, Shane.
Yeah.
Work to be done.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about me. I was just looking at all mine, and they should have won. You know, we're going to get to it, but I'm looking at LSU, Tennessee. Who was the other one I screwed up on? Oh, Auburn. Jeez.
Yeah, what were you thinking there?
How did I not get that right? Nah, I know. I went with my gut, my heart, and it bit me. Vanderbilt.
You made the same mistake I made last week. Never bet on Hugh Freeze to win a meaningful football game in my life. I'll tell you that. You know what?
There's like a handful of teams I don't like to place a bet on, and then like Tennessee or stuff. But then there's just coaches I don't like to touch either, just because you never know which way their teams are going to roll. And Auburn could win out. That wouldn't blow my mind, but they could also lose out. So that's kind of where they're at right now. And that's right with Hugh Freeze at the helm.
Well, all right, buddy, we got a lot to dive into, so yeah. Let's just start here. Hell, I don't even know where, but I'm going to go where there were the most fireworks this weekend, Shane, and that's old mighty Georgia hanging on here to beat Ole Miss 43-35. How about them dogs, Shane? This was defense optional in this game is how I would describe it. For the first time ever, Shane, I guess a Kirby Smart defense down there in Georgia, the opponent went 5 for 5 scoring on its first drives, and they were all touchdowns. Ole Miss was I don't want to say in complete control, because, hell, flip it to the other side, Georgia scored every day of possession. They at least got limited to a couple field goals, but until they killed the clock at the end, they scored on every single drive Georgia did. Man, what a game here. Georgia had 34 first downs. That still blows my mind. I can't recall ever having that many against a top five. Well, any competent team, not just a top five opponent like they were facing here. Gunner, man, Gunner's a star, Shane. 26 of 31 for 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, 59 rushing and another touchdown. Lawson Luckier, tight end, had 3 touchdowns in this game. Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, he didn't do anything that cost him. 263 passing yards, a passing touchdown, led him in rushing with 42 and another 2. And in the red zone, man, Georgia was 5 of 5 for 30 points. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss was 4 for 4 for 28. So, like I said, defense was optional in this one. But, man, the Dogs defend the home turf and give Ole Miss their first loss of the season.
And Georgia is one of those teams that we will just not figure out, right? It's like an impossible puzzle. They'll go into a game and I say, you know what, man, this defense, we've lost them. This ain't the defense that we used to have. And then all of a sudden they lock down. They make Ole Miss one-dimensional. What'd Lacy have, 30-something yards rushing in this game, which kind of blew my mind. I thought if there were a balanced football team out there, Ole Miss had it. So fast, my friend. And then it's like, oh, we're going to get into a shootout. Well, you know what George is good at, right? Shootouts. I didn't know that. But apparently when they have to, they'll find a way to win. And that's one thing about this team in particular, Mike. It hasn't been pretty. Georgia fans, they're happy to get a win, but they're a little frustrated here. But it's just one of those football teams that is gritty and going to find a way to win, it feels like, every Saturday.
Right. No doubt. And again, I mean, winning, but it doesn't matter if you're winning pretty, you're winning ugly. All that matters is your damn winning a football game. So yeah,
absolutely.
They cannot be killed. That's what Kirby said in the post game. Now, what about Ole Miss, Shane? First time I don't think they got much to hold their head about, but, does any doubt creep in now that you're like, maybe we can lose a football game? And what the hell happened to defense?
Yeah. Maybe the defense side, but I will say this, the fact that you're in Athens, you know, you had the lead. You kind of squandered this thing there at the end. In fact, you mentioned Trinidad. This is a guy that was on absolute fire till the fourth quarter. So I think, yeah, Ole Miss has got everything in front of them. They still can afford another loss, even though I'm sure nobody wants to see that. This is a team that still has a shot to make it to Atlanta, definitely has a shot to make the college football playoffs. This is a playoff football team, Mike. In fact, if anything, it cemented that during this football game.
Yeah, my takeaway from this one, Shane, was we just got two of the best teams, maybe the two best teams in the Southeastern Conference, met on the field on Saturday, and just one team was going to win. And again, I don't know about you going into it, but I don't think there's like I didn't see a huge separation between Georgia and Ole Miss, but I just kind of leaned with the home team.
Right.
If this game was in Oxford, I probably would have taken Ole Miss, and I'm not saying home field was the only reason Georgia won, but I'm kind of splitting hairs here.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see these guys in a playoff setting, neutral site, not Atlanta, you know, not their backyard, but you know what I'm saying? It'd be kind of cool to see these two teams go at it at that neutral site. And I feel like, and it could be a coin toss, just like kind of this game was, man. It was just, again, good breaks that went Georgia's way, bad breaks that went against Ole Miss there in the fourth quarter. But all in all, it was a fantastic football game to watch.
Hey, Shane, shout out JR, one of the best damn dogs out there. He says, Cousin Shane, I have you on a shirt hung up behind me on every stream he goes live. So free advertising for that SEC
Hell
podcast.
Yeah, well, check it out. That's right, man. Hey, give me a. I need a link. I need it easy. So, Mike, if you can give me a link after show, we'll get on here and watch JR game.
Yeah, we ought to support his channel. You know what?
Unless it's a football game and he's picking everybody but Tennessee, then I'm out. If it's always Georgia, I don't know how much I can handle.
And then Clint says, "Hey, cousin Shay, there's plenty of room on the BAS train. All aboard, Giga Maggies! Get on that train."
Oh, brother, they're on fire, man. Are they the best team? What was your power ranking? Who'd you have won?
I still got Bama.
Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, they beat a really tough Tennessee team, so I get that.
Yeah, let's go right there next, Shane. How about that 37 Tennessee 20 in Tuscaloosa, Shane? Buddy. Buddy. Alabama came out, scored. Tennessee tied it in the second. That safety, that loomed large. That was the next score in the ball game. That kind of threw Tennessee off kilter. But the one that really was the backbreaker, of course, that will always, this will be like in Tennessee, Alabama lore, will be the pick six on the goal line, final play of the first half. Once again, Shane, and this is why I've been pointing at it, even in wins against Mississippi State and in Arkansas, damn clock management came up here and bit Josh Heupel in the ass. And you know, did the clock management lose them the game? No. The pick six did, but they put themselves in that position by not having enough time, running out of timeouts, running stupid-ass play action with your jumbo package out there. I mean, it was a damn travesty, and shout out Alabama. I mean, I thought this was, not even Alabama's A-plus game, but I think it really was just kind of mistakes by Tennessee. Tennessee, good night, Shane. Piss-poor tackling. Remember, this used to be an elite defensive program. I don't know what happened there, but Tennessee showed signs of life in the second half, came right out and scored. But I don't know. Never really felt to me like Tennessee was going to win this football game right after Alabama came. I mean, hell, you text me first possession. You were like, perfect. that's kind of what it was. And the critical component of the game, Shane, red zone, of course. I mean, it goes with the pick six. But Bama was 4-4 in the red zone for 28 points, perfect. Tennessee was 2-5 for 14 points with 3 turnovers in the red zone.
Yeah.
And that's the difference in the ball game right there.
This was a tough one. Tough watch for those Vol fans out there, myself included. Right there before half. Obviously, that 14-point swing. There was something about Alabama. I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, this is a super, super talented team, and we've not seen the ceiling. When these boys get it figured out, if they get it figured out, because, I mean, we're halfway through the season. They may not completely be dialed in, but if it ever happens, this team will be unstoppable. So, yeah, I saw moments in this game, you know, especially in the secondary there where Tennessee was able to take advantage of it. I felt like they kind of got away from the run. They shouldn't have done that. That balance attack. This is a football team, and there's a couple of them that are floating around the Southeastern Conference right now that we were worried about competitive depth, right? We were worried about what the injuries would look like. There was not a more glaring stat than when we saw Tennessee's 3 receivers were getting all the reps, you know? So there's a reason we're huddling. There's a reason it's not going as fast as it usually does. You know, I do feel like if Tennessee had the talent, they could be absolutely dangerous, but the problem is they don't. They're very thin right now, and this is about as good as it's going to get. You're almost playing keep away from your damn defense, which is crazy to me. But yeah, that's where we're at. But we were still in this game, so that's why I do think the ceiling for Tennessee is still playoffs. Right? Mm-hmm. They got to win out, and obviously I'm going to predict them to win every single game here on out. But, you know, if they do that, they're going to have a little lady luck on their side. They're going to have some folks getting healthy at the right time. And then, like I said, on the flip side, Bama, I mean, absolutely loaded. This is my favorite right now to win the national championship.
Oh.
Yeah.
Buddy, favorite to win? Well, you were just – You were just mocking them number one in the power rankings. How can that be?
Nah, I know. But I watched them, you know. I'm watching these guys. I'm watching these receivers. I mean, they are freak athletes. And him, when they get, it's like the little flurries of them and Ty just getting like, man, it reminds me of that Joey Burrow. I told you about this with the LSU, with all those wide receivers. It just felt like eerily similar to that. But the defense, they do great, and then they let up some big plays, and the consistency is not quite there. But if it ever does get completely worked together, Alabama will be unstoppable.
All right, let's pull up Bama's schedule. Who's best shot to beat the Tide the rest of the way? Here's their schedule: at South Carolina, then they get a bye, then they get LSU at home, Oklahoma at home, mm-hmm. I believe that's Eastern Illinois at home, and then at Auburn. Best case in the regular season to knock off Bama?
Best case, I would probably say right now, I'd probably say Oklahoma.
Ooh.
Best case.
With that defense, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at defense. So either them or Auburn being on the road, you never know what's going to happen in the Iron Bowl. Those, I'd say 1A, 1B, so I'd say Oklahoma, then Auburn.
Maybe Auburn fights hard for interim coach DJ Durkin down there. You know what?
Yeah, that may be it.
Now, how about Tennessee? I saw Sooner fans said the Vols going to the toilet bowl, Shane.
Oh, hell, shit.
Hell, 5-2. I mean, it's season 8 done here. At Kentucky, we'll get to that. But New Mexico, Oklahoma, that's going to loom massively. New Mexico State at home, at Florida, which just fired their coach. We did the emergency podcast. Go check that out. And Vanderbilt. Now, I'm not sitting here picking it, but this is what we do, right? A team loses. It's like, oh, God, they suck. People have been hitting me up. Should Hypo be on the hot seat? Like, this is fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's, you know, they're God's gift to football here, but them winning the remaining games.
Uh-huh.
That would not be like the biggest stunner in the world to me. What do you think right now projected, if things break right, what do you think is like a realistic record for Tennessee?
Realistic 10-2 is still on the board, Mike. 10-2 is still on the
board. Would that
be
your pick? That's more what I'm asking.
No. the pick's probably going to be, I don't want to say 8 because I think that's dumb. So I'm going to go 9-3. Okay. 9-3. It's kind of probably more realistic, but 10-2 is they'll be favored in every game but one. So, and maybe even
Vanderbilt.
That. Yeah, maybe even who knows? By Pavia keeps running the way he is. Maybe we'll have to deal with him by that date.
Hey, I must have missed this. Shout out Master Sparky, what a name, gave us $20. Hey, Sharkeesian, that's what I'm calling him from here on out, Shane, till he solves this offense. Sharkeesian's post-game interview was complete coach talk and completely moronic. Half the SEC teams lost today, but we are on the winning side. This happens every weekend, dumbass. Take me now, Lord. We have an idiot in charge. Did you happen to see that? Shout out Michael Taft, really good defender, but
yeah,
it was. I mean, I get his perspective. I also get the fans that I've seen that are freaking out about it. For anybody that missed it, he basically said, and we'll talk more Texas here in a minute, but basically, hey, why are you being so negative? We won. Smile. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's not what I want to hear from preseason number one. We're gonna whoop everybody's ass, and now we need to be happy. You know,
brother, it's a shift. It's a mental shift. Most of us aren't ready for, you know, because we at this point we usually have one or two teams identified as the champs or potential champs, and it's not going to be like that anymore. So there's going to be days you win, there's going to be days you lose. It's just you want to make sure by you get to that last one it's not more than two. So yeah, if you're not in that camp right now, you should be pretty damn happy.
Ooh, Rick, he's got a bold prediction for you, Shane. Tennessee goes 10-2, but misses the playoff due to tiebreakers.
What? Rick? What? Jeez Louise.
That's just...
Well, A&M loses every game. There, I said it, all right? They ain't played nobody yet.
Hey, one team we can't say that about, Shane.
Who's that?
Them Commodores. Come on down. the Fighting Diego Pavias, Shane. They beat LSU 31-24. Maybe LSU is who we thought they were, because them Commodores is looking pretty good, Shane. Diego Pavia inserted himself back into the Heisman race. Both these offenses were nearly unstoppable until we got to the fourth quarter. And then both of them kind of hit a standstill. But it was, man, what a game this was. It was back and forth and back and forth. And this is the rare occasion where one of those early games lives up to the hype. Big difference in the ball game. Shane, Vanderbilt converted on two of the three fourth downs they went for. They were getting after it, even on their own side of the field, being hyper-aggressive. I think that just goes with the confidence that they have in this football team. They outrushed LSU 239-100. Not that we should be super surprised, given what we've seen from these teams this year, but just historically, I mean, we had one team that was disciplined, that was tough, that's good on the line of scrimmage, and then the others, LSU. I mean, how could this be that Vanderbilt is dominating? Maybe we should come to expect this now from the Clark Lea Commodores, but it's still wild to see. And now I got to imagine Brian Kelly, he's like, you know, in your car, Shane, where you got those seat warmers?
Yeah.
Like, they're... You know, sometimes that can be a little too hot, but you could still manage to sit on it. Not like you're not going to catch on fire or anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's where Brian Kelly's at right now, where it's like, ooh, man, it's a little uncomfortable here. I ain't caught fire yet, but it's coming if he keeps losing. You know what?
Like when we were at our grandfather's house, he's got a brisk 82 degrees and you're just sweating your ass off, but you know, he's cold. I'm right there with you. The seat is definitely... not fired hot, but it is warming pretty damn quick here. And, you know, because, again, it's the perception. You know, a lot of LSU fans probably didn't give, you know, think about it. There's some diehard fans, and they're in the comment section right now. These are diehards. If you're watching, if you're listening to a podcast with us two dummies on that SEC podcast, you're a diehard fan. But there's some that aren't. They just show up because that's what their mom and dad did and so on and so forth. They expect to win against Vanderbilt. They don't know how good this Vanderbilt football team is right now, Mike. And so that's the problem, is the perception that you lost a bad game. No, you lost to a team that honestly didn't play a great game. If Vanderbilt didn't make some of the mistakes they made, they would have won by multiple scores, in my opinion. This is a very, very good football team. And, brother, it is a dangerous football team. Nobody wants to play these guys right now.
Right, and next week, so we'll have all week to talk about it, but they're hosting Missouri College Game Day coming to Nashville. How about that, Shane? Again, college football is turning its attention to the West End. I mean, it's pretty exciting times. And I think we have to, you know, if we haven't by now, I mean, surely most people have. But if you still see Vanderbilt as that little engine that could,
buddy,
it's time for you to move on from that. I mean, this is a legitimate team.
Yeah.
That they, I mean, it would not even surprise me, Shane. I actually have them as one of the top contenders right now to make the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, this Saturday may be their toughest test. It's Missouri, at Texas, at Tennessee. Who knows what you're going to get out of Tennessee and Texas on any given week. But certainly you could argue those are the two toughest. But, man, if they beat Missouri, all they really have to do is split at Texas, at Tennessee. And I think this is a college football playoff team.
Brother, I already owe 4 miles to this damn team. I was going to wait to the end of the year, but I can't do it all at once because there's going to be a lot more wins coming. So I'm going to have to start breaking this thing up because I do not see anything slowing this train down. I joked earlier, and I probably shouldn't have, but Pavi's got to stay healthy, right? He doesn't need to sacrifice his body on every single game because some of these he can win with his arm. And I feel like when they – if they keep playing the way they're playing right now, Mike, they may be favorites in every game.
Shout out Brandon Norwood, Shane. So tired of BK LSU dumbass decisions. My luck, they hired stupid James Franklin next. I'm so tired of Brian Kelly and his excuses. He's just the most unlikable guy.
I get it, man. I get it. Because if you are an LSU fan, you're watching this one, you know you're more talented, right? That's not a secret. It's not a secret. I think you could get. I say this, Mike. You could probably grab Nick Saban off that booth. Don't even tell me if they just let him show up the week before and say, "Hey, here's your roster." I think he comes away with a win up there. I just feel like that would have happened, and unfortunately, Brian Kelly does not make the best out of this roster. I always think about the best. Like when you watch NFL greats, especially coaches and stuff, yeah. It's not so much a team as it is I'm getting my best players involved, and I'm watching this LSU team, and yeah, I thought Berrion Brown was looking good, but I'm not saying he's the most talented player on that field. And I felt like LSU failed to get the talent, the football Saturday.
Right. And then insert now they got Tre'Davious Green, who's just like,
jeez, he's 6'7", man. I know they keep reminding us.
He's like Randy Moss mixed with Jimmy Graham out here. You know what I mean? This is like a guy that we didn't even count on being a big impact player. So
yeah,
they got all the talent in the world. They're just not utilizing it. And shout out like Mizzou CK says, I think he's referencing, remember Brian Kelly? It was after the, it must have been, I think it was the Florida win where mm-hmm. he's like, you're spoiled. Well, you're spoiled. You're spoiled. You know, like, no, we see your team underperforming week in and week out, and it's biting you in the ass, and you haven't even got to the difficult part of the schedule yet.
God, how many teams would love to have Tre'Davious Green? You know, that's what I'm like. But Vanderbilt, if they had him with all them other two tight ends, oh, my gosh, it would be like the New England Patriots back in the prime.
Hey, shout out Cousin Tony. He's got an idea for you. Count yeah. them steps to the beer cooler, cuz. Hey, shout out Johnny Delgado. I'm starting to warm up to Johnny Delgado. He's been out on Beamer and all this. Well, man, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm glad hashtag fire Beamer was trending on Twitter. This team is expected to maybe lose 3 games, and Beamer has fumbled so badly they may only win 3 games. He's on track to average 6.5 wins, the exact same as Muschamp.
Yeah.
And, man, it's, you know, this is the thing Shane, the wise Professor Shane, tried to warn us about all offseason. Mm-hmm. When you expect something good from Carolina, they pull the rug out from under you.
Yep.
When you bury their ass, they surprise you. So we should have listened to you, Shane, with all the expectations.
It's a roller coaster. Shane Beamer, since he's been at South Carolina, has been an absolute, like last year was great. The year before sucked. The year before that, they were knocking off Tennessee to go to the college football playoffs. I mean, it's just an absolute roller coaster. And I get it. I get why fans are upset because, you know, you see Dylan Stewart, you see Lenore Sellers, and you're like, why are we not great? We've got two of the best players in the country, and we cannot feature them. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, and we're going to get to them here in a second. But board, they may have – he may be onto the next wall. I don't know what he's writing on now, but he's got to be piling up the negative comments over there.
Yeah, and again, he just – he wears it on his sleeve, which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
I hate these robotic coaches, but when things are not going well – and you're getting snippy.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you, basically. Right. You know what I mean? Again, I get it. You're emotional. You're in the moment, but you gotta reel that back in when you're getting embarrassed out there. You know what?
Are we talking about them? Because that was the worst offense I've ever seen in my life, Mike. I mean, it looked like, you know, when you first start playing a video game and you find a good play and you just keep running it over and over again, you know, that's like, that's it. That was South Carolina's offensive performance there. And I don't want to ignore Oklahoma. They finally scored more than 2 touchdowns.
Look at their drive chart, man. Oh, I mean, my goodness. Gosh. Now, they almost scored on the first possession. They got stuffed on the goal line. And I mean, I literally thought that was ball game. And I put that on Twitter. And it was kind of half a joke, but not really. I mean, we're seeing more 3 and outs than damn anything else. Just a pathetic, pathetic overall display here. 15 first downs, 3 of 15 on third down, 54 rushing. And the most interesting stat I thought from the whole thing, they had 50 rushing yards in the first possession, and they finished with 54. So how the hell does that happen? I don't know, but there's no end in sight here where all I kept thinking about, Shane, was you with your your old high school coach. You know, we started 0-4 back in 80 and we won the state. Well, when you got to 0-5, you know, that message didn't resonate anymore.
Yeah.
And that's all I was thinking about when Beamer went down here. Hey, we were 3-3 last year. We turned it around. We can't even play that card anymore. You know what?
No. I mean, well, let's see. Let's look at South Carolina's schedule. I guess they could pull off the 22 and say, well, we could ruin it for Ole Miss and A&M like we did Tennessee. Because this one here, man, I will say the defense I felt like was alive. And defense is playing their damn. I mean, if there's anything positive happen, it's on that side of the football.
Yeah.
But the offense is so bad. It is the
I literally can't think of a worse three than you got next. Bama, at Ole Miss, at A&M. The only thing worse potentially is Georgia.
Like, what are you doing? I mean, at this point, I see one more win on their schedule. That's where we're at with South Carolina. And what happens then? You know, Shane Beamer is rumored for the Virginia Tech job. Is he rumored if they go 4-8? I mean, no, I don't think so. I feel like, you know, and I'm not saying Shane Beamer wants to leave or anything. Obviously, they've got a lot of – this is one of those teams I was telling you about, injuries kind of stacking up. You don't really see it, but it's happening, and South Carolina just – is not falling apart, but man, I do not see light at the end of this tunnel.
Right. Well, how about some love for the Sooners, Shane? Who again? Backs against the wall. I was saying this was a critical game for old Brett Venables. If he lost it, he was going to lose his damn job eventually.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it was basically the identical situation I thought for Carolina. And what did they do, Shane? They responded with I thought. You let me know if I'm wrong, Shane. I thought this was the most complete performance, offense and defense, that we have seen from Oklahoma this year. I'm not saying they were like $1 million because it still looks to me like John Mateer's banged up. He was 18 of 26, 150 yards and a touchdown. It didn't seem like he was willing or able to push the football down the field. So I think he's still banged up. Mm-hmm. But this is a defense that was dominant, and we finally got the running game going. Where was that? I don't know, but the fact that we got it, we kind of had to lean on it.
Yeah.
And we had 171 rushing yards on the road in this conference. You're going to win every damn time. Shout out Torrey Blaylock with 101 rushing yards. That's exactly what you need. Take the pressure off Mateer. Can't ask Mateer to do it all. And they got it done. This was a huge, huge win. And quite honestly, I know there's been better wins, if you want to call it that. Like Michigan was big, Auburn was big, but I think for the season, this may have been the best win for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was thinking coming into this weekend, what's the biggest trap game? I thought this was it, right? You know, coming off that Texas loss, going to William-Brice, dangerous environment. Yeah, I really thought there was a shot, but then like you said, when they got shut down at the goal line, it was like, yeah, that was it. I never felt like Oklahoma was going to lose this game at that point. And you could clearly see that's the main point for me, Mike, is when you watch these two rosters out there, you know who's got the talent and who almost has the talent. And it just felt like Oklahoma had it. That defensive front was absolutely nasty. I would pause the TV and count players because I was like, there must be 13 guys out there. You know, there's no way there's just 11, but it was, they were like bees just swarming like them yellow jackets all over my ass there at the golf course, you know? So I was just totally impressed with this defense. This was such a great, great, this is a tough environment. This is an SEC game, boys and girls, you know, this is one that I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma, they're starting to figure it out now. And I was worried that we'll get to Texas here in a minute. I thought they had overlooked this one, and thank God they didn't. They came out here, they got the win, and they're moving on. They're moving on, buddy.
Right. Well, before we get to Texas, Shane, we got to get to the best team in Texas. But before we do that, real quick, shout out our friends over at SeatGeek. Don't forget, Shane, we got partnered up with SeatGeek this football season. Hey, there's plenty of great games remaining on the schedule. Maybe you're looking for tickets.
Yeah.
Go check them out, SeatGeek.com, or just download the app on your phone there and use the promo code SEC10. You get 10% off your order over at SeatGeek. I mean, Doesn't cost you a thing. If you're going to these games already, you might as well save 10%. And it's not just football games. All the sports, basketball's getting going here soon. NFL, of course, is still going on. And over at SeatGeek, they even got other events aside from sports. So maybe you want to take the missus to a concert or something like that. They got you covered over at SeatGeek. So go check them out, SeatGeek.com. And most importantly, don't forget that promo code, Shane, SEC10, to get you 10% off your full order over at SeatGeek. I'll put a little link in the description for anybody interested, but go check them out, SeatGeek.com, SEC10, to save you 10. You know who saved about 10 Aggies this week, Shane?
Who's that?
Marcel Reed. Come on, buddy. We're undefeated still in College Station. Thanks to a 45-42 win. What a back-and-forth epic showdown this was, Shane. And again, speaking of defense, who heard of that? You know what I mean? Because Marcel Reed was going up and down the damn field, 280 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and he added a rushing touchdown. But Taylen Green was not to be outdone himself, Shane. 256 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 82 on the ground, another 2, so 5 touchdowns. And he had to leave the game because he got injured. And shout out Mike Washington, Arkansas running back, 147 yards. I mean, this was just damn fireworks, back and forth and back and forth. Hell, A&M only got stopped twice in this ball game, and yet they only won by 3 points because Bobby P and them got it cooking down there, Shane. The only time they got stopped was basically a fourth down and 2 other possessions. So, you know, some concern over Texas A&M's defense, to be sure, but this is just – this is the Aggies this year, Shane. We're like, 1 week the defense is dominant, the next the offense is dominant. They're just a complementary football team, and I said it'd be tricky. So I didn't nail the final score, but I nailed the 3-point ball game here. So this is kind of what I expected. But credit the Razorbacks for fighting their asses off, coming up short again. That's got to be pretty devastating. But still very impressed with A&M exiting this game. What's your thoughts?
Phew. Elko got done with this, but he said, I need a hot shower and a cigarette. You know, that's kind of what happens when you play Arkansas, right? You find yourself fighting for your life. This is a very, very fun, explosive offense. I mean, you mentioned Taylen Green, but it's not just him. It's Mike Washington. It's Omega Blake. It's they got athletes. They got dudes. And once they're humming, once it's rolling, they're tough to stop. So it's almost like you have to outscore them. And thank God they don't have a good defense, or you wouldn't be able to. Arkansas would probably be undefeated if that were the case. But I feel like this is the games right here that make this Texas A&M team different than any team that's been in the SEC up to this point. You know, they find ways to lose games like this, right? A tough competition on the road, you know, maybe one weather delays. I mean, it was a nasty game, right? It was an ugly, there was a lot of factors that went into this thing, and you could have folded up. I mean, your running backs hurt. You could easily have folded up during this week, and you didn't. You find a way to get a victory. Elko talks about this after the game. He says, I've been a part of 6 of these, right? And all 6 of them end with the last possession. And of course, we know which team usually wins, and it's not at Jerry's World, but I feel like this is why I can't wait to see this game. This is why it's a rivalry, Mike. This is why we want to see it every single year, because I feel like this is what we're going to get every time these two teams step on the field.
Right, and shout out our favorite Aggie, Shane. Just want to give him a shout out because he gave us $10. Giga! Appreciate you, cousin Rick. But, yeah, I mean, what a damn ball game. Again, if you like offense, not so much if you like defense, but let me ask you this. Any shot, because this is not going away till they actually kill it here, Shane. Any shot A&M goes 8-4. I mean, we're 7-0, so it still could happen.
Mathematically, they could get Sanford and then that'd be it. Mike, let's not sit here and act like on the road in LSU is not going to be tough. On the road with Mizzou is not going to be tough. And Lord knows Texas is again. Is there a shot 8-4? Yes, but the fact that South Carolina is also in there at home, I think more likely than not 9-3 would be the floor for this team.
Oh, and I'll tell you where Cousin Rick's got it, Shane.
Oh, shit. Come on, Rick.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Bama A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. Bama A&M, Ole Miss and Georgia all end up 10-2 or 11-1, and we'll have all the tiebreakers, all playoff bound. Talen Green should be a Heisman contender. Beat the hell out of LSU. Thank you, yeah, Rick.
Absolutely. I mean, think about, like, what if Talen Green was in at LSU right now? Ooh.
Or Tennessee. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But definitely, I mean, I'm just thinking of teams that's got the defense, you know, Auburn. Yeah. Talen Green at Auburn. Hello.
Giggle Buggy, says Jason James. We appreciate you, buddy. But yeah.
Thank you, cuz.
What's your confidence level that A&M makes the SEC championship? Now, remember, now again, this is not last year. It's a different team. This is a much better team. But I think it goes without saying they were 7-1 last year, Shane, going into November. So as of right now, knowing what you know, likelihood that A&M is – I'm not even saying win the SEC. I'm saying one of the two teams that represents in Atlanta.
65% right now. 65%. Because at the end of the day, you've beat Mississippi State, Arkansas, Auburn, and Florida, right? I mean,
Notre Dame.
They fired two of the coaches on those teams. So let's tap the brakes.
Auburn could be three.
Yeah. We're not having a parade yet because we've not made there. But if anybody has house money, it's them Aggies right now. So 65% is probably higher than the only other team I have up there is probably Ole Miss. The only reason I have Ole Miss is because I like their path a little bit more than some of these other teams. But yeah, it would not surprise me at the end of the day or at the end of the year if it's not Ole Miss and Texas A&M in an SEC. Can you imagine two teams that's never been in it, now they're going for an SEC championship?
I mean, that would sum up this year perfectly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And let me ask you this, then we can move on. Arkansas, do they get a SEC win? Here's the remaining schedule. Auburn at home, State at home, bye week, at LSU, at Texas, Missouri at home. Do they get a conference win?
It's going to be tough, but yes, I think they do. But there's a couple things. I paid attention during this game. Talen Green got hurt. He was limping toward the end of this thing. I mean, the guy's got the entire ball game on his shoulders. So can that continue? I don't know. I don't know if that's and how much is there a give up point with this roster? You know what I'm saying? Tennessee, right. We are fired up, got a home game. It just feels like we're losing a little bit of that as well. So I think it's possible with Mississippi State on the schedule, with an LSU right now, the way they're playing on the schedule. I think it's very, very possible, but there'll be some factors there and mainly health on that roster.
Well, Shane, one team that's still alive, shouldn't write them off. A close win is still a win. How about them Tigers, Shane, and not Auburn, but Mizzou going on the road in overtime, beating Auburn 23-17. Another, man, what this was one where, like, ugh, I thought I didn't know who was going to win. But, you know, Auburn started hot, and then they cooled off like they always do. Missouri started to get some momentum, and then they turned the ball over near the goal line right before half and missed kicks, close fumbles or what appeared to be fumbles near the goal line.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned, Shane, about Mr. Bo Prabula. I mean, Bo Prabula and Jackson Arnold are basically the same quarterback is what this game revealed to me. and I mean, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but they just – basically, they got work to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but hey, better coach, better team, won on the road, tight contested game, could have went to either side. And then Auburn's left holding the bag once again, fourth consecutive loss, 0-4 in conference play for the third consecutive season under Hugh Freeze. And quite honestly, I'm a little bit surprised he's still the damn head coach. What was your thoughts on this one?
Well, the AD came out and says he doesn't count overtime wins as losses. So, you know, so. no, you know, when I talk about opportunities, this is it. I mean, Auburn has to be the best 3-4 team in the country, right? I joke.
Better
but,
than Florida?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Auburn's defense is legit. I mean, that game. Trust me, Bo is sore. Hardy is sore.
Yeah.
You know, they were lucky. Mizzou was absolutely lucky, and sometimes you got to have that. Good teams need a little luck every now and then, and they got it, brother, because opportunities were in this game. When you think about Cam dropping that touchdown pass, very next play, we get an interception, right? Cam gets a 40-yard pass. Three plays later, we're missing a field goal. Cobb, 40-yard run, gets down there to the red zone. Three plays later, we're missing a field goal. So there were so many opportunities that, you know, I want to blame Hugh Freeze. And honestly, I blame Hugh Freeze for the way the game ended. Because if you watch, they kept putting the camera on him. He's the one calling the plays, right? There isn't a coach for this down, a coach for this down. This was all Hugh Freeze. And it was some of the worst play calling I have ever seen. So, yes, there is a lot of blame for Hugh Freeze here. But at the end of the day, Mizzou went down to a hostile environment, to a place that's got weird voodoo all over it. They're even talking about the buried eagles in this thing. You know, I'm telling you right now, to walk away with a win in the plains is not easy. And that's one of those games you look back when you are, let's say, in the playoffs, because this is still a playoff. I mean, they're playoff contenders. If you get to that point, you look back at games like this and say, damn, we got lucky with that one. And I feel like that's what this was.
Yeah, and P5 says, ugly wins count, right?
That's it. I'll take them all day long. I wish I had an ugly win in Tuscaloosa, but I don't, you know?
So Missouri, very much still alive for the college football play. But hey, we got all week to preview these games, right?
Yeah.
I'm calling it a playoff eliminator, Shane.
Ooh.
Missouri Vanderbilt. Now, are they technically eliminated with two losses? No. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying Vanderbilt and Missouri, if you lose on Saturday, I don't think you're winning out to get to the playoff. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. And the thing that I guess I'm dumbfounded on is Bo, it feels like Bo's regressed a little, right? When we go back to week one, and now this is not the Purple Bears. I know I'm not comparing to Auburn, but I'm just saying there was a little swagger to him in the first couple of weeks, and it's kind of been stripped away. And I'm not – this is the only reason I'm worried about Mizzou is because I still think Hardy and Roberts are the two best running backs in the country, yet there is a full-on arsenal waiting for that now. You've seen it with Bama. We've now seen it with Auburn. So it's almost like the blueprint's out there on how to stop this rushing attack. And when it's left to Bo, unless it's the fourth quarter at the end of the game, for some reason he doesn't come alive. So I feel like he's also needing to come out of his shell a little bit, kind of get back to that fun and get that, you know, he had a little wild streak in him there at the start of the season. I feel like Bo's got to get back to that, brother.
Hey, Mizzou fan, he gave some donations. I'll read those here in a minute. But he says, Cousin Shane is still dead to us. He'll probably pick Vandy, too. Also, all right, yeah, so I'll do that here in a minute. I've been keeping track of them. What about this comment from Justin? He says, if A&M wins on Saturday at LSU, A&M's going undefeated. I still disagree with that. The rest of the schedule would be at Missouri. I mean, you can't just chalk that up. South Carolina at home, Samford at home, and at Texas. I don't think so. I'm still saying no to that.
No. Dude, anybody sitting here saying they got it figured out, buddy? Good luck, because you're the only one. I have no idea. I don't know which coach is going to get fired next. I don't know who's going to have the upset, you know? And it's so funny because some of these games that we labeled upsets are now, you know, if they were play again, we'd have them as a favorite. So, you know, we're still kind of figuring out these SEC teams, but the only thing I'm realizing real quick, Mike, is that floor that I thought was very low is now up, and the ceiling that I thought was way high is now down as well. We're talking everybody's right here in the middle, and I love it. That's why you can't leave your seat on Saturday, man. You just don't know what you're going to miss.
Well, you said you can't predict who's going to be fired next.
Right.
How about old Hugh? If they lose to Arkansas, is he done?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I say that, but because I told you earlier when Billy got fired, you know, we talked about if everybody's selling a house in the neighborhood, are you going to hold on to the house or are you going to just put it on the market with them? And I feel like if you think that you can get some of these, if you can go out here and get a, I don't know if James Franklin's the guy, but, you know, maybe, I don't know, just a short list. I would say there's a handful of names. Let's just say Lane Kiffin.
They get John Summerall tomorrow.
But is it worth the buyout and all that to do that? Another buyout. You know what I'm saying? We're three buyouts.
I think so. He's got a low buyout. He's got the lowest buyout in the SEC.
I just don't see it. Because one thing that you notice, and Coach talks about this, and it, you know, nobody really pays attention when you lose so many games, but he says the talent level has increased. And I will say this, after the last three coaches, this is the most talented Auburn football team I've seen. And there are, again, opportunities that weren't taken advantage of and Auburn walking away with the loss, but I could easily see Auburn sitting there with one loss on the season. It wouldn't have blown my mind.
Right, but why are they losing?
You're right, yeah, officials.
The coach.
Oh, yeah, coach. No, I'm just kidding. I'm still blaming them in straps.
That's why I think if they get a good coach in there,
yeah,
I think they turn it around immediately.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This is a coach I think I would wait until the season's over. But you are nothing getting rid of unless you're going after somebody that's unemployed at the moment. So,
Hey, shout out to Slick. Bold take, LSU beats A&M by 2 scores.
Oh,
first damn. Decent team A&M has played all year. Notre Dame is awful, he says. So I do like that. He says Notre Dame's awful.
What if Nussmeier comes out? You remember that old baseball movie, that kid game? Like he had that arm in a cast,
yeah.
And then it broke loose, and all of a sudden he could hit like 1,000 miles an hour. What if like the injury, you know, finally just let loose, and then all of a sudden Nuss comes out here, the gunslinger.
All right, how about this one, Shade? We did that one. Texas Mighty. Oh, I'm going to start calling him. I'm going to stop calling him Mighty Shade. 16 for the unmighty Texas. 13 Kentucky in overtime. And buddy, if you didn't see this game, anybody, and I don't blame you if you did, this has got to be the worst drive chart of Steve Sarkisian's career. I mean, you got to consider all the talent he's got to work with. Let me just read it off to you if you're listening back. Punt, 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 touchdown. But keep in mind, that touchdown was on a five yards away, and they scored a touchdown. Punt, halftime, punt, field goal, punt, 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 field goal, half, field goal. You know what I mean? I mean, this was just awful, awful football. Arch completed 44% of his passes, 132 yards. And oh, by the way, Cutter Bowley, I mean, not that he was like amazing or anything, but he had 258 on you. So,
yeah.
I mean, I came away with this thing thinking Kentucky was a better team. And I think Kentucky's the worst damn team in the conference. So I don't know what to make of Texas. I don't know if that was a complete what-off. I don't know if they're out here, we just need to smile, like they're saying, and just be happy. Half the team's won, half the team's lost. That's the way it goes in this league. But I'm looking at Kentucky. It's not half the teams. They're getting their ass kicked week in and week out in the conference. And, man, I don't know. This is the most troubling game, more than Ohio State, more than Florida, hell, even more than UTEP and San Jose.
Yeah.
This is the most disturbing, to me, game of the season for Texas. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I would say, yeah, most frustrating maybe, you know. But then, again, I think maybe we should at least give Kentucky its due here. I felt like the defense played phenomenal. I felt like, you know, you mentioned Cutter, but McGowan, I think these two guys played the game of their life. We were talking about this after the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Like, this Kentucky team is showing improvement. And that's one thing that, you know, some of these SEC teams aren't. Some are regressing, like maybe even a Texas. You know, you could probably put them in that camp. But I felt like Kentucky is improving and may sneak up and catch a few of these SEC teams, Mike. Hopefully not next week, but you know what I'm saying? I do think that teams that are overlooking them, you better be careful, because Texas about did that and almost lost, you know. As far as Kentucky, the only mistake they made is kicking it to Niblett, you know. It's like, I mean, if everybody in the world knows that that kid shouldn't get the football, then don't let that kid touch the football. But at the end of the day, brother, you walked away with a win. And, you know, when we're talking about Texas's record next year or the year after or Sarkisian's record, we're not going to see the fine print that there was a close overtime win against Kentucky. We're not. We're going to see a win or we're going to see a loss. And thank God for those Texas fans. Sorry, that's blasphemy. That they saw a win here. So at the end of the day, that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's all good and well, Shane. But if they play like they did on Saturday, I think they can lose every single game remaining. I don't think that's crazy. At Mississippi State, Mississippi State could beat you. Vanderbilt certainly could beat you. At Georgia will whoop your ass if you play like this.
Yeah.
Arkansas, hell, they just went toe-to-toe with A&M, and A&M's the only undefeated team in the conference. So I'm not suggesting they're going to lose to all these teams, but what I saw on Saturday looked like a 7-5 team.
Mike, the only thing that scares me about this schedule right here is, I mean, the only offensive team that they've played, like powerhouse team, you could probably put Oklahoma in there, but that's with a banged up John Mateer, right?
Uh-huh.
You know? So when you're looking here, Mississippi State can score points. Vanderbilt can score points. Georgia, I mean, these teams are averaging 35, 40 points a game, and Texas is going to be forced to keep up with them. The defense is going to, it can do so much, but at some point we got to have Arch take it to that next level. And I know he gets all, you know, the criticism and the blame and stuff, but I think play calling too needs to be fine tuned here, because if we don't have a balanced attack on that side of the football, then you're right. Texas is going to lose some games, brother.
I think their biggest issue is the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's killing them. So again, Kentucky's good there, but they're far from elite.
Right.
I'll just put it that way. You know what?
You're elite. You're elite.
Just like the Aggies. Hey, give us 10 bucks, Aggies. Haven't beat LSU at home since September of 94. That changes this damn week. Gigabyte to hell out of LSU. They're feeling themselves. You know what?
That was a good year.
You know who else is feeling themselves, Shane?
Who's that?
Florida Gators, because we fired Billy Napier, 23-21. Mississippi State strikes again, Shane, where you beat them, and then you turn around and fire your coach because you say, by goodness, we cannot allow them to get any momentum here. Gators probably should have lost this game. Yep. Heartbreaker here for Mississippi State. They can't win a conference game to save their lives, and if you missed it, Florida did jump out to a nice, sizable lead. They were having a ton of success. And then they kind of just went in the tank there at the end. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State gained some momentum, scored some late touchdowns. They were in field goal range. They had time. And for some God knows what reason, they decided to throw the football in a critical situation when they should have been running it. They were in field goal range, only down two. And Blake Shapen didn't see the freaking nose tackle, 360-pound man right in front of his face. He threw it right at him. Shout out that young man for making the play of the game. But inexcusable. Jeff Lebby should have to answer for that. And hell, I was thinking Jeff Lebby's a good coach. Now I'm sitting here like, what in the hell? That's some Bush League nonsense. Yeah. But shout out Billy Napier. His last game of the Swamp was a win. You know what?
Well, I mean, yeah, they put that banner up. Mike, I feel like this, and I hate it for Mississippi State. I hate coaches getting fired after you beat them. You know, it's like, and this is twice has happened. This Jimbo got a Mississippi State win before he got out of here. But at the end of the day, the window is closing for Mississippi State to get an SEC win, Mike. And, you know, after that Arizona State game, I said, there is no way. They started out 4-0. There is no way this football team can't catch a few of these guys. And right now, looking at the remaining part of this schedule, I don't see it. I don't see one win on here right now, Mike. And I hate to say it, but that's where we're at. So 2 years in a row, I mean, we're talking Lebby. Lebby was getting offers, right? How many times did we see his name floated around after Arkansas job opened up? It's like, well, now they, wait a minute, pump the brakes. He's not on there anymore. No, they missed an opportunity here. This was emotional, and it kind of surprised me. I mean, this was my lock. I got Florida right, but I did not get the point spread right. I really thought Florida was going to come out there one last time for the old Gipper, but damn, they about lost this thing.
Hey, no, I would ask you about Florida's like remaining schedule, but I don't think they give two shits. They just care about this coaching search now.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you this, Shane. Yeah. Anybody that missed it, old super agent, the man behind the scenes, most powerful broker in all of college athletics, Mr. Jimmy Sexton. He was in Athens, Shane. Yeah. He was with Lane Kiffin. Now he represents Kirby as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, these are arguably his two highest profile clients after Nick Saban retired, and he does represent damn near all these guys. Do you read anything into that? I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but I think it was, I wish I should have researched this, but I did see it. I think it was the Ole Miss On3 site where they said, hey, an extension's coming. So is this Jimmy Sexton lining the dots, crossing the I's and the T's and all that to get Lane Kiffin a mega contract?
Yep.
Or is this Jimmy Sexton down here saying Lane? Because Jimmy Sexton's not surprised by any of this. He's a guy that probably fired Napier. You know what I mean? So he knew that job was opening. And now, I mean, just look at the comments. There is nothing but Florida people saying, when are we hiring Kiffin? How much is it going to cost? What day is he getting here? I mean, they got their eyes set on Lane Kiffin. What's your thoughts right now, Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, I saw Knox tweeted something or liked something, Florida coach fired. So that's Lane's boy. So they're like, huh? So putting this, they're finding like old photos with him wearing Florida gear, you know? So listen, you got to remember at the end of the day with Jimmy, he's a salesman and his job is to make money, period. That's it. Whether it's at Florida, whether it's at Ole Miss, he really doesn't care. He does not care. Whatever gets him the most commission is what's moving him, right? And he's not, I mean, he's a big guy. I was going to say a fat joke, but we can talk about that. And he probably crushed me with his wallet and his lawyer. So I won't say anything, but I'll say this, Mike. At the end of the day, you're using this as leverage. So you saw it with Cignetti, you know, coming out with this mega contract. You're going to see it with Lane Kiffin. I would not be blown away if he doesn't just stay right there, but just become one of the richest coaches in the country, which he should, right? Now, if he doesn't, then as you said, the T's getting crossed, the dots getting out. If that doesn't happen, you better damn believe that he'll be shopping for an opportunity for his man to land somewhere. But I think, if I'm a betting man, they're going to find the money to keep Lane Kiffin.
But maybe you haven't heard, Shane. His wife, she went to Florida. She loves it down there in Gainesville.
Oh, yeah.
She's a legend down there. That's what they're, that's the, like, the dot they're connecting now.
No, I mean, shoot your shot, right? You know, I mean, you want it. I think it would be a home run hire down there. And, but I think Lane is going to find success wherever he goes moving forward. He's figured it out, right? I think he's figured this college football game out a little bit and, take advantage while you can, but you know, the kids are getting older, and if they want to move to Florida or if they're done with Ole Miss, I'm sure he could get the whole crew to, he could just say like the Beverly Hillbillies, just load up the wagons and head down to Florida. I really, if I'm being honest, Mike, if I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm holding out for a better deal, right? Yeah. I want more money, but at the end of the day, I want that LSU job. That's the one I want. I feel like Kiffin has gotten trouble, obviously, for chasing that big job like the USC, and, you know, it took a long time to get to back where he's not going to make those same mistakes again. So sticking around, he almost did with Auburn, but I feel like there's a handful of jobs, three or four max, that I feel like Lane Kiffin would go to. Two, and maybe in the SEC, Texas, Alabama, obviously, but I think that one's kind of, you know, they had their shot there. Yeah. But I feel like LSU's the – That's the one that he wants.
So, are you trying to say that LSU is a better job than Florida?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Gator fans don't want to hear it, but just saying.
Okay. That's when I think of Shane.
I think of LSU. I think of national championships and Heisman Trophy and, a plethora of kids around here that like to play for LSU. So,
yeah
it's they will never have trouble finding talent, and it's easy to recruit to. So, and not that Florida won't be. Florida will. Florida will be. I feel like in 2 years, I told you when Billy got fired, I said, I think in 2 years, if they make the right hire, they're back. They'll be in contention for the college football playoff. That's how good that place can be. But we're talking two or three jobs that why would Lane leave what he has? Not the expectations. He's raising those expectations there. But you've made mention in the past that Lane Kiffin could literally retire there. They could have a statue out front of him. They could rename the stadium. He could honestly have a legacy there in Oxford. And if that's something he's going for, then all this is holdout to make more money.
Yeah. No, I don't necessarily disagree. I think it's going to be a wild, wild coaching season. You know what?
Hell yeah. We're going to be covering it. So make sure those notifications are on.
What if this happened? Last thing, though.
Yeah.
On this. Because it sounds like Florida State's going to fire Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
What if Florida fans think they're getting Kiffin and he goes to Florida State? It's a lot easier to win in the ACC.
You know, you said that with James Franklin going to North Carolina. You think I don't pay attention when I'm not on here, but I was listening. And there'd be a part of me that would be drawn toward that. But also, I do see if I hitch my wagon to that tractor, that there's going to be a moment that we're going to have conversations of Florida State coming back to the SEC or coming to the SEC. You know, that there's those rumors floating around. So I feel like if I'm going to go, I'm going to go somewhere I want, not where it's easy, because that may change in 4 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just throwing it out there. That would
I like
suck
the way
for
you
them.
Think.
You know
I like the way you think, though.
All right, buddy. Hey, guessing the week 9 lines.
Yeah.
And this was the best weekend ever, SEC, right?
Yeah.
I mean, aside from two teams on a bye, this is just as good this week, brother. It's just as good this week. Nothing but conference matchups. We got mighty Alabama, Shane, at South Carolina, nationally televised on ABC. What's the opening line? Alabama at Carolina.
Alabama 13.5.
Nailed it. 13.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to be on this week.
All right. Tennessee. Mighty Tennessee at old Kentucky. The Bourbon Bowl up here. Opening line, Tennessee at Kentucky.
11.
9.5.
Oh, damn. I was thinking 9.5. Yeah.
Pretty close. All right. How about Mighty Texas at Mississippi State, Shane? Mississippi State hosting Texas.
I'd say Texas 8.5.
6.5.
Man. Close. Do not like them Longhorns.
No.
Don't like them.
How about Auburn, Shane, going on the road?
Yes.
To Arkansas and Bobby P. Arkansas hosting Auburn. What's the opening line?
The best 3-4 team playing the best 2-5 team. I would say, I'd say Auburn 3.5.
2.5.
Okay. What a game. What a All game.
Right. How about Ole Miss, Shane? First loss of the season. They're going to try to bounce back in Norman, Oklahoma. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. What's the opening line?
I'd say Ole Miss by 4.
How about Oklahoma 3.5?
Oh, man. Damn. Why do I hate the Sooners?
Huh? How about Mizzou, Shane? You turn your back on Missouri at Vanderbilt. College game day hosting there in Nashville. Vanderbilt hosting Missouri. What's the opening line?
Vandy 1.5.
2.5. Good one, right?
Yeah. They're liking this being favored, aren't they?
They are. And then last but not least here, A&M on the road, Shane, at LSU. LSU's back's against the wall. A&M fans are going to go 60-0, according to them. A&M at LSU.
I still think they're going to give LSU 0.5.
Ooh, no, it's A&M 2.5.
Oh, it's gonna that thing's gonna move. That thing's gonna move.
But either way, we got a hell of a weekend here in the SEC. You know what?
Oh yeah. What'd you dub this weekend? Playoff
elimination weekend. Ooh. And again, I'm just going down the list here, Shane. LSU, if they lose, they're eliminated.
Yeah.
Missouri Vanderbilt, loser, I think you're done. Yeah. Hell, I know you love Ole Miss. I think if Ole Miss loses in Oklahoma, I think they're done. With this coach shit heating up, again, they will be eliminated on Saturday.
Yeah.
But Carolina, Citadel, Florida, and at Mississippi State, I think they might screw up somewhere. They did it last year. You got to win it and end that to me. Same thing with Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma, I don't think you can afford with this schedule. You got to defend the whole. You got to win every home game, I think, if you're Oklahoma, if you want to make the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to go on the road and beat Tennessee and Alabama, which I don't like that. Texas can get eliminated this week. Mississippi State, Tennessee could get eliminated. Kentucky. So yeah, it's playoff elimination weekend, brother.
Let's do it. We'll be here for every minute of it, man. I love it. I'm watching these games yesterday, and you know what the worst part about like rewatching games? So I'm watching rewatching the night games this morning, and on the ticker down there, I see Alabama 7, Tennessee 0. And I was like, damn, I wish I could crop it. You know? So I know how that story ends.
Hey, well, we got a bunch of supers to get to here. Let's get these real quick, Shane.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR.
Thank you, cuz.
Gifted the Wild Hog. Wild Hog,
welcome to the family.
And then another legend over here, Shane. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Oh, Steven.
Ah, there he is. I knew he'd show up.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven
Thank
Up.
Thank you, cuz.
He gifted Chrissy. Chrissy, welcome.
Welcome to the
family.
I hope he's got a little cough today from all that smoking he did last night.
Then we had Glenn Warsaw. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz.
Tody Mathis. Tody,
welcome to the family.
And then Mizzou, man, they're mad at you, Shane. Trubin.
Oh.
Shane betrayed us.
Yeah, I mean, let's call it like it is, man, you know?
Yep.
I can tell you, listen, I did not betray Mizzou. I really thought they were going to lose that game. In fact, I don't know why. Did you not see the cousin record? I am losing. So the fact that I'm picking you, you should be pretty damn happy, you know?
I'd imagine. Yeah. I think who's happy is cousin Benny, Shane. He says, Shane, admit your chart truly belongs to the Tigers. The Mizzou Tigers, that is. And the Mizzou fan number 7, Shane, gifted 10.
Hell yeah.
Members.
Come on, cuz.
Shout out Michael Flynn, cousin Shane's shirt. Remember that guy? He just got one. Chasing life. Caitlin Heisey, I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. Dakota Haynes, Chuck Wagoneer, cool name. Logan Davis, JP It, Swiggity Swoodity, and David Bjork.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy Mizzou's Fan 7. JD's trying to fool us here. Breaking news, Freeze got canned and turning pro golf.
I keep waiting for Mike to do that.
Gavin Case says, for Bama fan, if we drop a game, it's Auburn.
Ooh. I could see it being a tough one.
He also said Vandy knelt on the 3-yard line. Could have been worse when they beat LSU, which is true.
Well, Tennessee, I'm telling you right now, this is a touchdown. And if you pick me, here's the thing. So when I felt like Alabama was going to kill us, I jumped on my bookie and the spread was 13.5, and I put $100 on Bama. I was like, man, there's no way we're going to. And then, of course, there at the very end, if they would have got that touchdown, I would have lost that money. You talk about a horrible, like not winning and losing money. That would have sucked. So at least I made a little money off that venture.
And shout out Gregory Grogan. Shady gave us a donation. Kirby Moore peaked in 2023, but Bo needs to stop looking to run first. But O-line has been a struggle since Caden Green got hurt. You know,
that's a good point. That's a good point. That line, again, those injuries are starting to pile up.
And just so are the cousins. Shay, shout out Justin Bullock. Justin,
welcome to the family.
And just Jared, even though LSU suffered, he's still a man of his word. He's here, and he gifted Carlos Perez. Carlos,
welcome to the family.
Let's see. And then we got one more, I think. Yeah, Storm Chaser, appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah.
He gifted
Welcome to the family.
Say some shift. Just whiffing head, what anything. Get out of here. And then Blake's mad at you, Shade, for saying that LSU's better than Florida. He says, that's the most Tennessee fan thing I've ever heard. Florida's a better job than LSU in all ways.
Yeah, except one. I'd like to work at LSU than Florida.
hey, anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
No, man. It was, again, my team didn't win because half the teams had to lose and half the teams had to win, and mine was on the losing side. So I'm trying to smile through it, Mike, but it was a great, great weekend of college football, and that's what I love, man. Every single game, I watch it, and I'm like, why wasn't this one at 7:30? Why wasn't this one at, you know? I just feel like every single game can go one or two ways, you know, and it's nothing is certain anymore, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and, you know, when the Arkansas A&M got delayed, I was like, well, that'll be good to kind of break it up a little. But then it just kind of like added the chaos of, oh, man, now there's another game on later, and it was just – there was a hell of a lot going on, but yeah, I think the weekend lived up to the hype, and it was one thing I saw. I retweeted it from our buddy George Stoya over there at Sooner Scoop.
Yeah,
you know, as these Oklahoma and Texas guys get more inundated with the SEC, and he just said something like, "Good night." Like every SEC game is going down to the wire and is amazing. And that's life in this conference, and it displayed itself again on Saturday. And guess what, Shane? It's going to do it again next Saturday too. You know what?
Hell yeah, man! And it's happening all over the country. You know, you see Miami get dropped. You see did Texas Tech lose? I think so, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just the SEC. It's just you don't know who we're going to send, but I can guarantee you they're going to be battle tested when they get to the playoffs. So today's shout outs. Thanks JP for putting this list together. Shout outs go to Cousin JR, Steven Up, Clint M, Brandon Norwood, Cousin Rick, Mizzou Fan number 7, Benny Truska, Glenn Warshaw, Truman, JDWDE, Gavin Kane, Master Sparky, Scott Fitz, Johnny Delgado, and Gregory Gogan, Just Jared, P5 Caudry, Jason James, Justin Bullock, Too Slick, Serial Killer, The Aggie, Storm Chaser, EJ, Say Some Shift, and Blake Lemons, and of course JP for putting that list together. Thank you, cuz. One more shout out. I saw Trey, our everyday Trey, coming through. Get the membership.
He gifted Shane to Jake.
Jake, welcome to the family. From State Farm? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man, there was one other one that came in. I just missed it, though. It was pretty funny. I cannot see it. I'll let you guys know it was classic. It was classic.
It was good. So,
you might want to jump in the comments and try to catch it.
Is it a fat joke?
I think that's going to do it, Shade, for this episode. We'll see you tomorrow. It's a couple extra episodes. Barler Monday, Steven. He'll be back in the evening. So a lot to recap here. Stay locked in on the channel. Like, subscribe, share. Really appreciate all that you do, each and every one of you. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC Podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC Podcast. Hail State.